Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. Little more than 2 weeks ago, President Carter told Bert Lance that he was proud of him. Less than 2 months ago, Chairman Abraham Ribicoff of the Senate Governmental Affairs Committee told Lance that in Ribicoff's opinion, he'd been smeared by the news media. But today, Mr. Carter's budget director appears to be in deeper trouble than ever. Yesterday afternoon, Senator Ribicoff and his committee's ranking Republican, Charles Percy, told the president that serious new allegations of illegality about Lance had been uncovered, and both senators said Lance should resign. Robert Shackney takes the story from there.
Senators Percy and Ribicoff have not yet made public the new allegations against Bert Lance. That won't happen until the two senators brief fellow members of the Governmental Affairs Committee. But this much is already known. The new questions concern alleged illegal activities by Lance as a banker. And the allegation of illegality is new. Last month, the controller of the currency criticized Lance's banking practices, but found that he had not done anything illegal. Since then, Senate investigators have been looking into Lance's use of a bank airplane for what may have been political trips, and into Lance's relationship with a convicted embezzler who used to work for him at the Calhoun National Bank. The controller found that Lance had done nothing illegal with regard to the embezzler, but criticized him for authorizing loans to the embezzler. Finally, there is the investigation into the activities of the regional controller's office last year to find out whether favoritism was shown to Lance, and if so, why. Robert Shackney, CBS News, Washington.
Lance was questioned by reporters this morning outside his Washington home, and he stood firm.
I've been assured that I'm going to have the opportunity to appear before the Senate committee and tell my story. I feel good about it, have all the time, perfectly at ease about it.
Do you feel the administration is losing its support for you?
Haven't seen any evidence of that at all.
Do you expect, after all that's come and gone, to be fully vindicated?
Certainly. Absolutely.
You don't think any of this is going to hurt you, your effectiveness, or hurt Jimmy Carter?
No, I don't think so.
A House Banking Subcommittee holds hearings on the Lance matter today, with other congressional panels following suit later. The full Congress reconvenes this week after its summer recess, and Mariah McLaughlin tells us what's in store.
The Senate will be preoccupied almost the whole month of September with energy, and if the Congress sticks to the target date of October 7th for adjournment, that will be about all the Senate will accomplish. Although the Senate will probably try to work out a compromise with the House on the issue of federally financed abortions, a controversy which has held up a major appropriations bill. The House will spend some time locked in combat over the issue of breeder reactors, particularly the Clinch River project, but may have some time to take up other issues, including minimum wage. Committees on both sides of the Congress will be concentrating on tax reform, Social Security, and welfare reform, but final action on those bills is doubtful in this session. Bert Lance will be spending some time before congressional committees, and the House investigation of the so-called Korean scandal will continue. And, of course, there will be a lot of talk, but Senate Foreign Relations Committee Chairman John Sparkman says no action on those controversial Panama Canal treaties. Mariah McLaughlin, CBS News, Washington.
President Carter and Panama's head of government, General Omar Torrijos, are scheduled to sign the treaties in elaborate ceremonies tomorrow night. Torrijos meets with Mr. Carter this morning at the White House.
With nothing to break it, the storm howls across the open western plain. In the dusty heart of the storm, a figure appears, a Wells Fargo stagecoach.
Country's got its blood up, Virgil!
Yep. Yeah!
Rangemen and guard, bandanas pulled up over mouths and noses like outlaws, western hats pushed low over their eyes. Lose your way here and you might never find it again. Then, a break, a glimpse of blue sky, mountains, the wind falls. The plains are gone, fenced and farmed and subdivided. Air-conditioned cars follow a highway paved over the old stage track. But the outfit that passed this way and proved itself then is still in business. Still proving itself to people throughout California every working day. Proven, that's Wells Fargo Bank. Member FDIC.
For years now, in some parts of the country, the day after Labor Day has meant back to school, new school busing programs, and violence. But this year, it's different. For one thing, as we hear from Fred Graham, no new court-ordered busing plans are going into effect anywhere in the nation as this school year begins.
One reason why no new busing plans are beginning this week is that the Supreme Court issued a decision last June cautioning trial judges to be sure of their ground before ordering large-scale busing. So busing that could have begun in Cleveland, Columbus, and Buffalo has been put off until January. And the judges and officials involved seem to be just as happy because it's been learned that the cold of winter may be much better than Indian summer for avoiding anti-busing trouble. Nathaniel Jones, general counsel of the NAACP, explains.
When the Detroit plan was implemented in January of 1975, the fact that the weather was quite cold, we think, may have been a factor in bringing about a smooth implementation. After all, who wants to go out in zero weather and wave a banner?
So the anti-busing riots of autumn may be passing into history, perhaps to be replaced by a round of new busing each winter. Fred Graham, CBS News, Washington.
There was an anti-busing demonstration last night in Louisville, but disorders were on a relatively small scale. A federal court action, a sequel to a coal mine disaster last year, commences today in Pikesville, Kentucky, and we'll hear about it from David Dick.
15 women, the widows of 15 Scotia Coal Company employees, are expected to appear in U.S. District Court here this morning. The women are suing Scotia's parent firm, the Blue Diamond Coal Company, for $60 million. The women's husbands were killed March 9, 1976, when the first of two methane gas explosions occurred at the Scotia mine near Oven Fork, Kentucky. A total of 26 men lost their lives, including three federal mine safety inspectors. The women will be represented by the same Washington, D.C. law firm which helped in a multi-million dollar settlement after the Buffalo Creek, West Virginia disaster, in which 125 people died when a coal waste dam broke. The attorney for the Blue Diamond Company of Knoxville, Tennessee, is former Kentucky Governor Bert T. Combs, a native of the eastern Kentucky Mountains. David Dick, CBS News, Pikeville, Kentucky.
Former Hurricane Babe, downgraded now to a tropical depression, is dying out today in several southern states, accompanied by tornadoes and heavy rains.
That's a long way down, Virgil.
Sit down and hold on. Keep. Easy.
Down a mountain road easy. So steep that wagons have to slide on skids. A Wells Fargo stagecoach rolls on its high yellow wheels. High up on the tilting box, driver and guard swing back and forth from the edge of the bank to the edge of the cliff.
He's slipping around the back.
One mistake can plunge them into an abyss. At last, the road rises. The mountains open to either side. The horses stretch on out. The road is empty now, the mining town it served gone. But the outfit that ran this road and proved itself then is still in business. Still proving itself to people throughout California every working day. Proven, that's Wells Fargo Bank. Member FDIC.
The people who worry about the energy problem in this country can take some comfort from the fact that it's far worse in Japan. Bruce Dunning has details.
Four energy holidays a year would conserve enough energy to supply a Japanese city of 100,000 people for 2 years, according to the director of the country's science and technology agency. And Suzuki Ono proposed to the prime minister's cabinet that Japan establish these energy-saving days, one each season, at least to dramatize to the Japanese people the problem of supplying this country with energy. Japan must import virtually all its energy resources, petroleum, coal, uranium for its atomic reactors. But surveys indicate that people here are less concerned about energy shortages now that the oil shock of 4 years ago has passed. The technology chief proposed various ways of observing the energy holidays, including shutting down television broadcasting except for news, switching off all illuminated advertising signs, shutting down half the elevators in tall buildings and all elevators and escalators below the fourth floor, turning off pilot lights in gas-fired equipment. Such measures, he said, would remind people to conserve energy the year round. The cabinet reportedly was impressed with the idea, but took no action. Bruce Dunning, CBS News, Tokyo.
Japanese and American negotiators began talks in Tokyo today on economic problems. The biggest problem, as far as the United States is concerned, is Japan's enormous trade surplus with this country, and the Japanese are likely to come under strong pressure to do something about it.
Suddenly, it's gonna dawn on you.
Only Datsun has King Cab, the only small pickup with extra room inside for long legs and large loads.
Suddenly, it's gonna dawn on you.
Only Datsun has King Cab, the only small pickup with reclining bucket seats and up to 11.3 cubic feet of storage space behind those seats.
Suddenly, it's gonna dawn on you.
Only Datsun has King Cab, the small pickup with an optional 5-speed, with more people room inside than any other, more storage space inside than any other. King Cab, another reason why more people own Datsuns than any other small pickup.
Suddenly it's gonna dawn on you.
Take a test drive soon at your nearby Datsun dealer. Suddenly it'll dawn on you, Datsun saves in all kinds of ways. KNX News Radio Time, 7:11.
An all-too-familiar air of uneasiness is noted today in the black South African township of Soweto. Doug Sefton reports from nearby Johannesburg.
Police patrol the streets of Soweto this morning, but despite the guarantee of protection, only a tiny percentage of students chose to ignore the school boycott, which has been in effect for months. There were few incidents. At one school, police scattered a crowd of about 200 youths, many of them displaying the illegal Black Power salute. Most of the 42 schools in the black townships are completely deserted. The stayaways are a heavy response to government takeover of the schools more than a week ago, an action undertaken in efforts to break the boycott. Since registration for the schools began a week ago yesterday, only about 100 of the 27,000 students have responded. Authorities claim that parents and students are staying away because of intimidation by boycott leaders. If that is the case, riot police on duty throughout the area are not sufficient to overcome that fear. Doug Sefton, CBS News, Johannesburg.
West German industrialist Hans Martin Schleyer today remains in the hands of terrorists who are threatening to kill him unless their demands are met by 12:15 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time today. The terrorists want the West German government to release Andreas Baader, leader of the Baader-Meinhof terrorist gang, and his associates, all serving long prison terms.